Tonight we're continuing our study on the science of the Christian life, and we're going to overlap just a tad tonight, but I feel like I need to teach on this subject, and I'm going to teach tonight on the science of the will, the science of the will. Open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 7, John chapter 7. I'm going to read three verses. And then that'll be all the verses we'll read tonight. I'm going to talk to you in a few minutes on the science of the will. And I promise you, if you'll listen, it'll help you. John 7:17. If any man will to do his will. That's interesting. If he will to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 37. This is talking about marriage, but it applies to this matter of the will, and you'll see it easily. 1 Corinthians 7:37. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, get this now, but hath power over his own will. One of the most important statements you'll ever read. Power over his own will. And has so decreed in his heart. I love that. He has decreed in his heart like a king. He is the king of his will. That's what it means here. He is the king of his will and passes a decree that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. I want you to notice that you can have power over your own will. You can rule your own will, and you can make a decree to that effect. Now please to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 13. The 13th verse of the second chapter of Philippians. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Father, when I teach the Bible and I teach life, I literally ache for people to understand it. Because I believe that the answers are being presented from this pulpit Wednesday nights. People flounder, people wander in depression and defeat, but they don't have to. I pray tonight you literally transform our lives. I beg, Holy Spirit, to keep the people alert and do thou a work in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Sit up straight, look right this way. I plead with you to listen to me, not for my sake, but for yours. Of all the places that I preach, my favorite place is right here in this pulpit. I can take sermons in this pulpit and preach them with vigor. I can take that same sermon somewhere else and I can't preach it with vigor. Now, there's some sermons I can preach, like I preached this week in Salisbury, Maryland, out the Eastern Shores. There's some sermons that I can preach there with vigor, and some, but I can preach anything here with vigor, enthusiasm. I can't quite explain it, of course, because I love you and I know you, but there are other reasons that I can't quite explain. But I want to say this. I don't have to do what I'm doing, what I'm going to say right now here. The people like that on the front row, and I speak places where it's as far as 20 feet from me to the front row. I speak in places where it's bright and cheerful, and I speak in places where it's dark and dreary. And because of that, there are times when I get a little bogged down in a sermon. Now, here's what I do. I have written in my conference Bible 12 things that always turn me on. Big Macs, cheese quarter pounders. But I have written 12 subjects that I don't care if the people are 30 feet from me. I don't care if it's dark in the building, I can't see the people. I don't care if the platform's so low, all I can see is the folks in the front row. I don't care if people say amen or not. I speak under every conceivable circumstance. Sometimes outside, sometimes in a tent, under a tent, sometimes under a tabernacle, sometimes in a building with a big high ceiling, sometimes in a coliseum, sometimes in a little room that seats 200 people. But there are 12 things. Now, whenever I get to a place where I can't, I'm not with it, I know when I'm not with it, I turn in my conference Bible, and I just pick out one of those 12 things, start talking about it. And I always get happy. There are 12 things, it works. Now, look, I decided to get happy. Now, I just didn't say, I'm happy. I didn't say that. But I know what makes me happy. Now, please hear me what I'm going to say. You can turn emotion on and off to the glory of God. You say, you just turn it on and off. That's what I'm saying. It's exactly what I'm saying. Now, there's a difference in turning on the tears, and some folks, I'm sure, can act it out, but and being sincerely turning it on. Let me illustrate. God commands us in the Bible to have certain emotions. Now, I've said it often. Whatever God commands us to do, we can will to do. God will not command you to do anything that you cannot decide to do. All right? God says you're supposed to love. Now, that means you can will to love. Now, listen carefully to me. You don't have to pray for God to give you love. Nothing wrong with it, but you don't have to. You can will to love. Because God wouldn't command you to love if you couldn't decide to love. God commands you to rejoice, commands us to rejoice. God never gives a command that we cannot will or decide to do. Are you listening? All right? That means you don't have to pray for God to give you joy. You can decide to have joy. God commands us to forgive. He says, as I have forgiven you, so you should you forgive one another. Now, that's the command of God. Now, that means I don't have to say, God, the Lord, let me help me to forgive. No, I can decide to forgive. God would not be a just God if he gave me a command that I could not will or decide to obey. He says, for example, I'm to be content. Be content with what sort of things you have. I have whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Now, God commands me to be content. All right? Now, that means I can will to be content. You follow what I'm saying so far? All right? That means that whatever God commands me. Now, God says, thou shalt not steal. Now, we know that we can decide not to steal. God says, thou shalt not kill. And we know that we can decide not to kill. But the same God that says that thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not kill said love one another. And said be content. And so you can decide to be content just like you can decide not to kill or not to steal. God said we're supposed to have thanksgiving. Be thankful. All right? God never, listen to me, God never commands us to do anything that we cannot will or decide to do. God says, we'll be grateful. All right? That means that I can decide to be grateful. I can decide to rejoice. And by the way, I can decide when I want to rejoice. Because God tells me to, I can do it. Now, the question is this. Can I just decide to feel these emotions? Can I say, okay, I am going to be thankful? No, I cannot do that. I cannot say, I am going to be content. No, I cannot do that. But I can, okay, listen here. I cannot will these emotions, but I can will to think. And I can think in the direction that take me to those emotions. Illustration. This morning I was in Philadelphia. I got up this morning at 3:25 in Salisbury, Maryland. I caught a plane way before sunup in Salisbury, and I flew to Philadelphia. Now, I went to Philadelphia, and they had one of these places where the gates are sort of round in a circle. They have them in the K concourse at O'Hare Field. They have them that way. And also in United Airlines, down at the end of the C concourse, and at the end of all the concourse, they have it. They have a big round room here. Here's a gate, here's a gate, here's a gate. Let me show you what I'm doing. Here's a big round room. Oh, good, good. Here's a gate right here. And here's a gate right here. And here's a gate right here. And here's a gate here. And here's a gate. And here's a gate. And here's a gate. And here's a gate. Here's a gate. And here's a gate. Now then, I sat there in O'Hare Field, in Philadelphia this morning, and I sat there in the airport and said, I am going to be in Chicago. Is that the way I get Chicago? Anybody home? No. I cannot will to sit there in the airport, but I can will to get on the vehicle that can take me to Chicago. You see? Now, this gate over here is contentment. And this gate over here is love. And this gate over here is wrath, let's say. And let's say that this gate right here is rejoicing. And let's see what I got up here. This gate right here is thanksgiving. And this gate right here is forgiveness. And this gate right here is gratitude. All right? Now then, I can't stand here and say, I am going to be grateful. Now, that's the power of positive thinking, and that's the late Norman Vincent Peale's garbage and possibility thinking, which is Roberta Shuler's garbage. And I'm saying, I can't will to be content, but I can will to think. Are you listening? I can decide what I think about. All right? If I decide what I think about, I can think about something that will lead me to contentment. See? So, now, I'm turning it on, but I'm not faking it. I know what makes me feel content. Okay, suppose I want to get happy. I want to rejoice. Okay? Then I know I cannot say, okay, I'll be happy. Be happy, be happy, be happy, be happy. I can't do that. But I can will to think. Now, if I can learn what I can think about to make me happy, then I can decide when to get happy. Is that right? If I can have a formula of what makes me mad, I can decide to get mad if I want to. So I'm saying that the mind is the vehicle which will take you to the destination that you choose to go to. I cannot stand here right now and say, I will be in Chicago. I can't say that. But I know how to get Chicago. I can go to my car out here. I can get in that car. I can go down State Street. I can go down to the Academy Expressway. I can go down Dan Ryan Expressway till I get to downtown Chicago. I cannot sit here and get to downtown Chicago, but I know how to get there, and the vehicle is the car on the freeway. And I cannot sit here and will myself to be happy, but I can will myself to think about things that make me look. Folks, we're idiots. We're crazy. I mean, we're crazy. You sit here, you could be happy if you wanted to be happy. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be miserable. You don't have to be discontent. You don't have to want to commit suicide. You don't have to. I mean, God said be content. And if God said be content, you can be content. You can't will to be content, but you can learn. Study your stupid self. Now listen to me. The average person here doesn't even know yourself. You don't know what makes you happy. You know what makes you happy? Whatever happens to float up. Happiness just floats up. And you bump into it. Well, praise God, you can look for it and find it. Well, I just don't know what's wrong with me. Well, I want to throw something at you. I think I will. I mean, find out what's wrong. Study yourself. Find out what makes you blue and don't do it. Find out what makes you happy and do it. I mean, write it down in a formula. This makes me feel good. When I think about this, I feel good. Write it down. When you feel bad, throw over that part, that formula that makes you feel good, and think about what makes you feel good. I'm saying you don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be nervous. You don't have to be blue. You don't have to be unhappy. You don't have to have those spells of melancholy. You can be happy if you choose to think about what makes you happy and learn what makes you happy. You say, and I'm saying that's turning it on. Now listen to me. Most of you, okay, fellas, stand up here, all of you. You're going to be happiness, unhappiness, okay? And you guys just jump out and grab me as I walk by. What are you?
I'm happiness.
Hey, I'm happy. I'm unhappy. I'm happy. I'm unhappy. I'm happy again. Now that's the way you live. Whatever grabs you is how you feel. Your stimuli. What are you?
I'm happy.
I'm happy too. Let me go. What are you?
Happy.
I'm happy again. I'm unhappy. Now, that's the way you live. Hey, what you do? You guys line up here a little bit. You guys line up over here. Just. Okay. Face sort of like this. Come on here. Okay. That's good. Now, your happiness over here and your unhappiness. Here's the way you live. Just grab me and throw me. Now that's the way, that's enough, fellas. That's where you live. That's a picture of your life. Whoever, whatever happens up. You know the story. You know it. How you doing? Fine, I got married. That's good. No, it's not so good. Why wasn't it so good? She weighed 400 pounds. That's too bad. Said, no, it wasn't so bad. Said, why wasn't it so bad? Said, she was rich. Said, that's good. Said, no, it wasn't so good. Said, why wasn't it so good? Said, she wouldn't give me any of her money. Well, that's too bad. No, I said, it wasn't so bad. Said, why wasn't it so bad? Said, she built me a new house. Oh, that's good. No, it wasn't so good. Why wasn't it so good? Because the house burned down. Well, that's too bad. No, it wasn't so bad. Because she was in it. Now, that's the way you live. Folks, I can save you doctor bills, psychologist bills. I can save you days at home off work. I can save you money. I can save you melancholy. I can save you suicide. I can save you being blue. If you will study yourself, find out what makes you happy. When you want to go there, get on that vehicle. It'll take you there. Now, sometimes you need to get angry. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Bible says be slow to wrath. You can't be slow to wrath unless you have some wrath. You're slow to wrath, you've got to get wrath. But you can decide. Listen, that's why folks kill. They murder because that's the way they live. Stand up here again. Just one of you, John. Your happiness, your unhappiness. Boom. I lost it. Well, don't lose it. Thank you. I just flew off the handle. But you decide what handle you get on, when you get on, when you're going to get off. Folks, I want to take every one of you, and I want to take this microphone out. They sit across my desk for the thousands of years and say, I don't know what's wrong. Well, find out what's wrong. I've said it 100 times or more. If you have a good day, when the day ends, sit down and write down what you did and have another one sometime. Make another one. If you have a bad day, sit down and write down what you did and don't make any more. I'm saying that you cannot will obedience to God's command of being content, of rejoicing, being thankful, but you can find out what leads to those things in your mind, and your mind can be the vehicle that can transport you to any of those destinations you want to go. So, I cannot will the destination, but I can will the journey. I cannot decide to be in Philadelphia, but I can decide to go to Philadelphia. I cannot decide to be in contentment, but I can decide to go to contentment. I cannot decide to be in joy, but I can decide to go to joy. I cannot decide to be at love, but I can decide to go to love. I cannot decide to be at gratitude, but I can decide to go to gratitude. Now, for example, Brother Colson, stand up. Some of you, let's take the matter of love. I want to feel love, Brother Colson. Now, here's... Brother Colson, be nice to me, and I'm sick. Come to see me.
How you doing, huh? What's wrong? You sure are praying for
you. I don't
know
what's wrong.
You don't know what's...
Brother Colson came to see me while I was sick. He's such a nice man. He made me feel so much better. I just love Brother Colson. That is, unless he forgets to come next time. But let me tell you, I love Brother Colson. He's sitting beside me on the platform. And I want to feel warmth toward Brother Colson. He's going to pray for our offering, let's say. And I'm going to brag on him. And I want to feel warm towards him. I can't just say, warm. I can't do that. But I know what vehicle can transport me to feeling warm toward this man. What is it? I think of all we've been through together. I think of these over 30 years. I think of all the battles we've fought. I think how loyal he's been. You give me 60 seconds, brother, and my heart will overflow with gratitude and love to Johnny Colston. Thank you. And by the way, any man or woman in this room can do the same thing toward your mate. I'm just not the affectionate type. No, you are the affectionate type. You just don't get on the plane that takes you to affection. Stop and realize how hard that guy works. Stop and realize what that man's gone through. Stop and realize what that woman's been through. Stop and realize those 10 kids you've got, what she went through to bring those 10 kids in the world. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, you can be as affectionate as anybody, and you can be as kind and loving as anybody if you will find out what mental vehicle takes you to love. Oh, my soul, this is good. Let's take joy. I sit here in church, and I don't feel good. Old Blackwell out there gets happy, and I want to get happy. Blackwell gets up and throws a fit. Thank God he does. If he ever quits it, I'll kill him. I may kill him anyway, but I'm sitting here, and I say, why can't I feel like he feels? So what do? I stop and say to myself, my name's written in heaven. My sins are forgiven. Not a single sin I've ever committed. It's written in the book. And God won't write any others down against my record. In fact, I'm justified. And God's forgotten my sins. Pretty soon, Blackwell and I are dancing the jig together. He said, I am just not the emotional type. That's not true. You're just not the thinking type. You're not the self-disciplined type. You don't know what puts you on the road to rejoicing. Find out. If you want to get happy, get happy. Happy, 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 happy. No, 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 no. Think, 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 think. But write down what you got to think about to think up a happy. How about forgiveness? After all you've done to me, Brother Young, you think I'm going to forgive you? You sorry, dirty bum. Now, but I want to get to forgiveness. So I walk up to the gate, and I know what gate it is. It's the gate of thinking how much God's forgiven me. And brother, all I got to do is think how much God's forgiven me, and I realize he hasn't nailed me to a cross yet. Yet. But I put Jesus on the cross. My sins nailed Jesus to the cross, and my sins caused him to be beaten with a cat of nine tails, and my sins caused him to be hated and rejected and despised and a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I did that. He has never done that to me. If Jesus can forgive me, I can forgive Ray Young, and you can forgive the people that have done you wrong too. Well, how do I forgive? I will to think what takes me to forgiveness. And same thing's true with contentment. All I got to do, if I get a little discontent, okay, your house. Well, let me go here. Brother Eddie, your house. If you get discontented with it, take a mental trip down to Mexico or take a mental trip to the Philippine Islands, and you think that not one family out of 1,000 in this world lives in a house as nice as yours. Boy, you can go home, that old furniture's got a hole in it, can look mighty good. That old sofa that's sagging can look mighty good. And the sofa ain't all that's sagging either. Can look mighty good. The only difference between you and you grouches and you happy people is you grouches are not self-disciplined. The only difference between, oh, but you say, Brother Hiles, I'm just a melancholy type. My Bible says there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. The difference between you depressed people and you happy people is discipline or lack of it. The difference between you discontented people and contented people is discipline. You have not learned yourself to know what takes you to... But the truth is, a lot of you don't want to be content. Now, the reverse is true. Not only can you go to the gate that says Chicago. I can't get to Chicago by thinking I'm in Chicago in the airport in Philadelphia. But I can go to a gate number D8... where I was this morning. And I can go to gate D8. That's what that thing up there said. That little television screen up there said D8 is Chicago, leaves for Chicago at 7:25 this morning. I can go to D8. Or if I want to, I can go to Istanbul if I go to that gate. And just like you can decide, will to think yourself to love, you can will to think yourself to hate too. Hey, I know what makes me hate. So I don't go to the gate. Get that poetry? I know what makes me hate, so I don't go to the gate. That does rate. Now listen to me. See, some of you want to hate. But in case you don't want to hate anymore, find out what you're thinking about. Listen, do you ever have fuss with your wife or your husband? And it wasn't bad till you started thinking about it. And the more you thought about it, the madder you got. And he didn't say anything else, or she didn't. You just thought about it. He's 2 minutes late getting home. I wonder why. What's he into? What's her name? Probably stopped at the bar. Yeah. Miss smell your breath. You're thinking your way to a temper tantrum. Or you can also say he probably got caught in a traffic jam. He tried to get home, probably almost had a wreck because he wanted to get home and kiss me so bad. That's the way he always kisses you, so bad. I want to take a whip to all of you and tell you, okay, let me give you some examples. I think about my age. I think about my age. I'm 67. Now, the Bible says I'm allotted 70. That's 70. Let's see. October, November, December, January, February. I got 2 years and 7 months left. But I stay pretty well happy. How can a guy stay happy when he's on his last leg? I mean, the banana peeling is the next step. You know why? Over here is a gate that says, I don't have long left. That's a pretty bleak future. That leads me to depression. Over here is a gate that looks back and says, I've had a wonderful life. And that leads me to joy. So I think I'll just catch this plane right here. You see? And you say, well, the house, you actually do that? I actually do that. If I get thinking about the fact that I don't have much longer to live, maybe, or preach, I just go over to this gate over here because I know I'll feel great. Let's take my health. Don't ask me how I'm doing unless you want to stay for a long time. I've got a little bit of growth on my eye. I'm stone deaf. I'm going to have minor surgery in a few weeks. Well, major surgery. It'd be minor if you were having it. That's the difference of major surgery and minor surgery. Mine is major, yours is minor. If you had the same surgery I'm going to have, I'd have nothing to it. Just outpatient. But you wait and see how I've grown. And I expect a bouquet of flowers from everybody in this room. Along to go with that box of candy. I'm losing my hair. I'm losing my hearing. I got a growth on my eye. My blood pressure's up. Mrs. Howells is expecting. Folks, I don't feel very good. But, okay. I can come over here and think about all the things that are deteriorating. And brother, by morning, I would not have slept a wink. And by morning, I'll be miserable because that's the R. Watch me. I jump across this platform like a kid at 67. And I don't get out of breath like I used to. I just think about that. And I feel good. You say, Brother Hines, how do you stay so happy? I know I go to the gate that leads to it. How do you get there? You think your way there. Let's take, I preached to a small crowd. Last night I was in Salisbury, Maryland, preached Monday night, building seats about 500, it's packed. Yesterday afternoon snowed. They don't get much snow there. Snowed and snowed and snowed. And I was expecting 100 last night. I got there and we had more folks last night. Folks drove all the way from Philadelphia and Baltimore, Norfolk, 150 miles away. Bigger crowd than we had. But if we'd have had 100 people, I'd have still preached the same way. Because I refuse to let a crowd determine whether I feel good or not. So if the crowd's down, what do? I go over here and I say, I can take this gate. I'm preaching to 75 people tonight. I remember that night I preached to 4,000 in the Coliseum in Bangor. I remember that night I preached to 10,000 in the Coliseum in Flagstaff, Arizona. I remember the night I preached to 12,000 at Cobo Hall, Detroit. I'm preaching to 75. I don't do that. I go over here to this gate. And remember when I preached to 12? Say, praise God. I'm going to preach to 75 people. That woman and I right there used to stop at the First Baptist Church but go to Texas. They averaged 106 in Sunday school. Going out to our little church that averaged 11 or 9. On a big day we had 11. Pentecost Sunday we had 13. And we'd stop there at the First Baptist Church but go to averaged 106. Going out to our little church, going to preach to 9, 10, 12 people. And I'd say, look at them pour in. 106 of them poured in every Sunday. I said, you reckon we'll ever have anything that big? She said, no. We'll have a big church someday, but never 106. Now, I'd rather think about that when I'm preaching to 75 than think about preaching to 12,000. I know how to get where I want to get. You sit there, Brother Hiles, do you ever get blue? Oh, sometimes I get on the wrong plane. Sometimes I go the wrong gate. But when I'm there, I know why I'm there, and I know how to get out of that gate and change the other gate. You can think your way to any emotion you want to. And it's not hypocrisy. And it's not sham. And it's not put on. If a guy had walked up to me while I was sitting there at the gate in Philadelphia this morning, said, where are you? I said, Chicago. Hey, Lord of God, I'm in Chicago. He said, you crazy, man. You're not in Chicago. You in Philadelphia. No, I'm Chicago. Hallelujah, I'm in Chicago. That's put on. But the fact that I went and looked at that little television screen that said gate D8, and I walked down on purpose to D8 and sat down there and got on the airplane and got to my seat and sat down in my assigned seat, I was on the vehicle that would take me where I wanted to go. And the vehicle that will take you where you want to go is called your mind. And the activity is called thinking. And you can, if you will learn yourself, I'm going to give you just this. List your emotions. Study what leads to each emotion. Decide where you want to go and will to get on board. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. I'm saying God never commands you to do what you cannot will to do. It's up to you. Well, I am, what are those temperaments? I am sanguine. I am melancholic. No, you're not. You're stupid-olic. I wouldn't give you a dime for those stupid things. Brother, you can think yourself from sanguine to melancholic anytime you want to. What's some more of them? What? Choleric? That's a disease. Phlegmatic? That's something you spit up. I can think myself from choleric to phlegmatic anytime I want to. I can't say it, but I can get there. I can think myself from melancholic to sanguine or sanguine to melancholic anytime I want to. And the difference in a sanguine and a melancholic is discipline or lack of it. Right now, I'm trying to get work myself up to enjoy a business meeting.